as we have throughout the spring, I want to invite you to open your Bible to Psalm 119 this morning. As many of you know, most of you know, we've been going through this psalm throughout the springtime, and we're continuing forward by looking today at verses 113 through 120. We also want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible with you this morning, to use one of the Bibles that we provide in the seat in front of you. The page number for today's reading is on page 439. This is a strategic invitation. We want you to open God's Word, to hear God speak to you today through His Word. Don't just take my word for it. Open God's Word so that He might speak to you today. So again, I'm going to read verses 113 through 120, so follow along as I read. I hate double-minded men, but I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. Sustain me according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always have regard for your decrees. I reject all who stray from your decrees, for their deceitfulness is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your statutes. My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws. Church, this is the word of God. One of the realities that you're going to have to face up to if you are going to grow in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and there are no exceptions to this reality, we will all face this if we decide that we want to, as God calls us to, grow and mature in a relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the realities that we're going to have to face is that there will be attempts to undermine our faith. To undermine our faith by causing us to, or leading us to compromise, by undermining our faith in different ways. But there will be attempts to undermine our faith. And when you read the Bible, you see that these attempts to undermine faith come from one of or more of four sources. They may come from Satan. We believe as Christians that there is supernatural evil, that there are forces at work that we don't see yet are real. And so we believe that there is a Satan who seeks to divert and attack and mislead. So the attack may come from Satan, or the attempt to cause challenges to our faith may come from Satan. It may come from our sin nature, what is often referred to in the Bible as our flesh. That is, that sense that we are sometimes our own worst enemy. That the challenges to our faith, the undermining of our faith, doesn't come from someone or something outside of us, but from us. We're sometimes the worst enemies. A third source of these challenges may come from, again, using some of the language of the Bible, from the world. The world is the place, the sphere, if you will, of unbelief, of compromise that can influence and challenges us in terms of our faith. But the fourth source of where we might find our faith may be disrupted or our faith sought to be undermined is through other people. Sometimes it's other people who are seeking to cause disbelief, who are seeking to undermine our faith. And that's what we see today in Psalm 119 in these verses 113 through 120. We see the psalmist is looking out and he knows that there are people who are trying to undermine his faith. Do you see how he describes these people? He says in verse 113, they are double-minded men. They are of divided loyalty, of a divided mind. He refers to them in verse 115 as evil doers. He goes on to say in another place that they are wicked in verse 120. Wicked evildoers, double-minded men. This is very stark and strong language to describe people who are seeking to undermine his faith. In fact, it might be language that might make some of us even uncomfortable, but it is stark and dramatic language to describe these people, double-minded, wicked, evildoers. And as I was reading that, I was trying to go think about this in terms of, well, you have these people in his life who are seeking to undermine his faith. And we might just put these people in the category, again, using a Bible terminology, that they're often referred to as the ungodly. He says evildoers, wicked, double-minded. Let's give them the broad category of ungodly. Ungodly men and women who are seeking to undermine his faith. And then I began to ask a little bit deeper question. My question was, if we're all sinners, right? The Bible speaks about us in this reality, right? That no one is righteous. No, not one of us. In our own self, in our own sufficiency, apart from the grace of God. We're all sinners in need of grace. And yet there seems to be in this psalm that these are not just quote-unquote sinners, that there's something more here with these people, these ungodly people. So I ask the question, is there a difference between the ungodly and sinners? It may be a clumsy question, but I was trying to get at some of this distinctiveness, this uniqueness here. And as I was going a little bit deeper, you track with me and see if you follow along with what I'm saying. And if you don't, that's fine. That's fine too. But here's what I discern that I think is happening here. These ungodly men that he's talking about in these verses, these ones who they're not just going after him, but it says here they've rejected God. Like it wasn't, they're not just sort of innocent in terms of ignorance. They don't really know. They have willfully, consciously chosen to reject God. They've turned their back on God and his truth. So that's part of it, right? You see that dynamic. I mean, the relationship, they are separated from God. They're like dross, it says, right? So they have a willful, conscious rejection of God. But I think it goes even a little bit deeper than that. It's not just that they have willfully, consciously rejected God, but then there's that second part that I think is so crucial. They're going after those who do. That they're going after those who are seeking, and I hope you are, growing in a relationship with God through Jesus. That they don't just reject God per se, but they seek to undermine the faith of those who do. And perhaps that's the distinctive nature of what we're talking about. That there are these sources that seek to undermine our faith in God, whether it be Satan, the flesh, the world, or what we see here today, ungodly people. So, again, it's important for us to recognize that there will be attempts to undermine our faith, to keep us from growing in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, or if you're not a Christian, to keep you from putting your faith in Jesus for the first time. So how do those attacks happen in our life? What do they look like? Well, they might look like the first A word I'm going to give you, and it's attack, right? When someone attacks you in any capacity, it's to intimidate you into submission or to silence. And what you find if you're going to grow in your faith, that these different sources of temptation, these different sources trying to undermine your faith in God, one of the ways that's going to happen is through attack. It may come through literal physical violence. We don't experience that, thankfully, but there are parts of the world where today people who've put their faith in Jesus may experience physical violence from their family, from their community, from their government. It can be very dangerous in places of the world to put their faith in Jesus. So the way that they're going to be attacked is through physical violence. Again, that's probably not us. But if you want to grow in a relationship with God through Jesus, don't expect everybody's going to cheer you on. Right? So there are other ways that you might be attacked. It may be through exclusion. Right? If you say, I'm going to grow in my faith, and I'm going to live for Jesus in winsome kinds of ways, there may be exclusion where you're excluded in some way from a group, from friends or family. Maybe you're demeaned in some way. You're made to feel less than. You're made to feel dumb. You're made to feel whatever it may feel, but there's a demeaning. It's a kind of attack, if you will, to put you in your place. There might be intellectual attack, to go attack the intellectual foundations of our faith. In fact, one of the things is we, in a few minutes, are going to recognize our graduating seniors. One of the things I want our graduating seniors to recognize as they go out into wherever God leads them to go is to realize that there is a rich, deep, long intellectual tradition of the Christian faith. It goes back thousands of years of people who are profoundly intelligent and reflective. That there is a deep reservoir of truth and thought and thinking that goes into our Christian faith. It's not anti-intellectual, if you will, to believe in Jesus Christ, to believe in God, to believe in the Christian faith. And so, but that can happen, right? The attacks can come in sort of an intellectual undermining. The attacks can come in different ways. But they come, and this it's a way to try to diminish, to submit, to push you to submission, to silence, to attack you. That's one of the ways that our faith might be undermined. But the other way looks very different. This is not attack. This is allure, another A word. Temptation, right? Attack has come after you to intimidate you. Temptation is, come on over here, it's better. The grass is greener over here. It takes some of those core desires of our life, things like money and sex and power, and takes these powerful desires and disorders them in such a way that we believe lies and that lead us to compromise our faith. I don't need to go into detail on that. You know what I'm talking about. But that there is that alluring that happens. And so we have these different. So again, we need to wake up. If you want to grow in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you're going to face attempts to undermine your faith from Satan, the flesh, the world, other people, ungodly people. It may come through attack. It may come through temptation or alluring. But it's going to happen in our life in different ways at different seasons that we're at. So what do we do? What do we do as we face these challenges throughout our life that seek to undermine our faith, seek us to compromise, to grow cold in a relationship with Jesus Christ? What do we do? How do you respond? Well, look at how the psalmist responds. Again, you have your Bibles open. Look at just some of these verses. It says in verse 113, I hate double-minded men, but I love your law. Verse 114, the second part, I have put my hope in your word. Verse 115, that I may keep the commands of my God. Sustain me according to your promise. Uphold me, God. I need you. I always have regard for your decrees. I love your statutes. Verse 119. Verse 120, my flesh trembles in fear of you, and I stand in awe of your laws. The psalmist knew something that we often forget, which is, he could not resist the temptations and the attacks that come to his faith on his own. He could not do this in his own strength. He needed to experience God in his life. He needed to experience the power of God, the sustenance of God. He needed to experience God in his life. So where does he go? He goes to God's word, doesn't he? He realizes to make it through life, to grow in a relationship with God, to face all the challenges and the trials and the attacks and the temptations that will come our way if we seek to grow in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He needed God to sustain him and strengthen him and grow him. And so he goes to his word day in and day out because that's where he knows where he's going to be sustained. And what was true for him is true for you and me today. How are you going to face the attacks? How are you going to face the temptations? All these ways that come in our life in a given week to undermine our faith in small ways and in big ways, do what? Here's what we are called to do. Here's how we're called to respond. Grow in a relationship with God by spending time in the Word of God. I know I sound like a broken record in Psalm 119, but it's like the same thing every week, said differently, but it's important for us, isn't it? It's important for us to remember that in order for us to mature, to grow deeper in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we need to be aware that there is an enemy. In fact, sometimes we're our own worst enemy, aren't we? Sometimes it's not just Satan, it's our flesh, or it could be other people. It could show up in different ways. But there is a battle that wages for our hearts and our minds and our souls. But we're not left alone. And we praise God for that because you and I, we do not have the strength to live this life in our own power. We need the experience of God in our life. We need to experience Him in our life. And how is that going to happen? One of the ways, the primary way, foundational way, is by spending time in the Word of God. And as I was considering this, I want to give you two principles before we're done with our time this morning that I hope will reinforce why growing in a relationship with God by spending time in the Word of God is so important. The first principle I want to give you, and by the way, this will be on the sermon application guide that's available to you after the service on the guest welcome table. These notes will be there for you. But as you grow in a relationship with God by spending time in the Word of God, I want to note two things. The first thing I want to note is God will use His Word to cultivate certain affections or desires, feelings. But I like the word affections. It goes deeper than just something transitory or superficial. That God will use His Word to nurture, to sustain, to cultivate affections for God. Look at verse 119 and verse 120. Look at the words here. He says, "Therefore, I love your statutes. My flesh trembles in fear or reverence of you. I stand in awe of your laws." Look at those affections. Love, reverence, awe. That's just two verses of Scripture here where we see the affections of love, reverence, and awe. And think about what it might look like in your life for you to love God, to reverence God, to be in awe of God. And think about what that looks like in relationship to the ways that your faith may be attempted to be undermined. That if you have the fear or reverence of God, you won't fear those things that come at you or those who seek to undermine. If your love is nurtured, the affection of love for God is nurtured, it won't be so easy to be tempted away by cheap substitutes or disordered loves. If you're in awe of God, you won't be awed by anything other than Him. You may catch glimpses of His design, but forever you'll be in awe of God. And so think about how the Word of God cultivates affections for God. Love, that's just, again, it's just two verses. Love, fear, reverence, awe. So when you grow in a relationship with God by spending time in the Word of God, God will use that time to cultivate in your heart, in your mind, affections for God. Apart from the Word of God, left to your own devices, your affections will be reordered to someone or something else. We are worshiping creatures, and you will worship someone or something else. You will give your awe and reverence and love to someone or something else. But God, by his word, right, will cultivate those affections. The second thing I want to point out, just to kind of reinforce how important it is for us to grow in a relationship with God by spending time in the word of God, is do not disconnect a relationship with God from the word of God. What I mean by this is, like in Psalm 119, what are we saying every week? Spend time in the word of God. Next week, I'm probably going to say something similar. I won't tell you what I'm going to say, but it'll basically be that. Spend time in the word of God. But the point of spending time in the word of God is not just to spend time in the word of God. The Bible is a means to an end. And the end is not read the Bible. We read the Bible, we spend time in the Bible in order to, what's the end goal? To grow in a relationship with God. God has anointed or given us the means of his word to help you and me grow in a relationship with him. And there is no substitute for a relationship with God. Again, we make that distinction often about knowing about somebody or knowing about God and actually knowing him. And that distinction is of profound importance, because you can go and walk through life believing in God, believing in some kind of higher power, but to truly know him, to truly be in a relationship with him, there's no substitute. See, we've been called into a relationship with God, and we're going to face challenges. We're going to face attacks. We're going to face temptations. We're going to face struggles in our life. We're going to face all these different ways that seek to undermine our faith, to lead us astray, to compromise our faith, to become despondent, to become all these different ways that can impact our life. But we're called over and over back into that relationship with him. So some of you don't have that relationship with God. And so the message for you today is that you are called to turn from sin, to turn from yourself and your self-sufficiency and your own ideas or whatever it may be, but you're called to repentance. Repent and turn to God through Christ for the first time, putting your faith in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for you, that he rose from the dead. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. You are cleansed, as we just sang. We're a new creation. And that rift, that brokenness, that broken relationship with God is healed through Jesus Christ, and you can know him. But as we grow as a Christian, you know this if you've been a Christian for a while, there are these ebbs and flows, aren't there? There are these times where you seem to be growing, times when you seem to stagnate, times when your affections are passionate for God, where your affections are dull for God. And so one of my prayers for all of us today in terms of a relationship with God is that all of us would experience renewal in a relationship with God through Jesus. For some of you, that may be a call to repentance, to turning away from rebellion, turning away from compromise, turning away from willful sin, and turning back to God and experiencing his renewal. For some of you, you've been through pain and suffering and difficulties, and maybe renewal will come to you through that healing process of the renewing work of his Spirit in your life. However it happens, I pray today for all of us that we will not accept any cheap substitutes. That we will see that in order for us to live the life that God has called us to live, to know him and experience him, is a call into a relationship with God. And it is the only way we're going to face the attempts that will come our way, in different seasons and in different ways, to undermine our faith. There's no substitute for a relationship with God through Jesus. So, when you face the challenges, the attacks, the temptations, remember, like the psalmist did in these verses. Grow in a relationship with God by doing what? Getting into the, by spending time in the Word of God. Will you pray with me? God, you have been faithful through the different seasons of our life. And I pray now through your Son, Christ Jesus, Father God, and by your Holy Spirit, you'd go and work in each of our lives. For some today, Lord, I pray you bring the weight of conviction over sin and separation from you. That you would use your Word to help them see the impossibility of their situation apart from you. And that today, for the first time in their life, they would repent and put their faith in you, Christ Jesus, that you died on the cross for them, that you rose from the dead, that you are the Son of God. That today, for the first time in their life, they would experience the forgiveness of sin, the removal of guilt, the healing of separation. Lord Jesus, we pray for that person here today. God, I pray today for renewal. I pray for renewal for all of us who are Christians, for those here today who are deeply compromised in their faith and their moral life. God, I pray for repentance that leads to restoration and cleansing. God, for those who are broken and hurting, God, I pray for healing and renewal. But God, I pray today that you call us back to, as you call us back to yourselves, we'll respond and we'll be refreshed and renewed by your Spirit. And God, that by your Spirit, we'll be able to face the trials, the temptations, the attacks, the underminings that come our way. And that we would mature and grow and flourish in a love relationship with you. So we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen.